So we're walking down the park, just, having a casual stroll. And then as the policeman approaches us, I trip on the pavement and I'm, in a crack in the pavement. I look up and I'm like, oh my gosh, what's going on? And then my mum kind of gives me this look like, don't speak, do not say anything.
YouGov found that 19% of people would use the word feminist as an insult. The 19% are wrong. Feminism isn't an insult, it's a necessity and a movement to be proud of. And we're here to tell you why. Welcome to episode 2 of the 19%'s 5-part mini-series. We're telling one story every single day in the run-up to International Women's Day 2016. 5 women, 5 stories, 5 episodes. I'm Anya Lawrence. Episode 2 of 5 is Donnie's story, or rather, stories plural. She has like a few smaller stories which we've included in this episode. Both of Donnie's parents are Iranian. Donnie grew up in England, but she goes to Iran to visit family there a lot, and she really, really loves it there. You can just hear it in her voice in the way she describes it.
It's really, there's so many things to dislike about Iran, but at the same time, I'm just like, I love it there. I really miss it. I do. I just love the way that certain things they do that we don't do here. Like the fresh bread, everyone is stone baked, so good. And then my grandmother always has like fresh honey put out, like organic butter, this, that, all along the table. You just like literally dip and you just put on the bread and oh, so good. The food there is brilliant. Oh, and another thing, there's this one restaurant, literally, the restaurant is above this kind of, it's like a kind of canyon, and there's like a stream that's running through the canyon, and it's really scary. So you're sitting down in this restaurant and you can see like beneath you, like this like stream, and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm gonna fall. And obviously they have these kind of big cushion things with like Persian patterning.
All of Donnie's stories in this episode are about Iran, memories and experiences that she and her family have had there. As a woman, as someone who's grown up surrounded by culture from both the West and the East.
In Iran, it's a country that's governed by Islam, basically. It's a theocracy. So you have to wear kind of these, we call them montos, but they're basically like long tunics that cover your arms and should be, knee level. Mine were just above. And I thought I could get away with it, but clearly not.
The clip that you heard right at the start of this episode, right at the very start, is the story we're going to tell next. In the story, Donnie is 15 and she's wearing a tunic that's slightly above her knee. She's walking in a park in Tehran with her family, and then she sees a policeman walking towards them. And she trips.
I just stand there, with this huge grin on my face. And he says, and I will translate, is this your niece or something? Who is this? And my mum goes, oh, this is my sister. She's visiting from Canada, because obviously following the Iranian Revolution, we had many Iranians migrate to Canada. So it's quite common for them to know, like, where Canada is, I suppose.
Wait, so she pretended that you weren't her daughter?
Yes. She said that, this is just my... Yeah, because I don't know why. I can't remember the reason why. It was for political reasons. She wouldn't tell me. And I suppose my mum does look quite young, so it would have been a bit unbelievable, because people usually think we're sisters. And he said, oh, okay. And I just continued smiling, like nodding along it, yes. And he said, does she speak much Persian? And my mother goes, no, she doesn't. She doesn't speak any Persian at all. She's just here visiting. And I just, literally, I'm there, like, nodding and grinning. It's like, don't nod, Don. Why are you nodding? I'm literally just like a Churchill little toy, the you have in the front of your car. And he goes, I could fine you. I could, we could take you to back to police. Tell her that next time she comes out, I'll let you off this time, because she's not familiar with our policies and our rules, but next time tell her to wear a longer tunic. Literally, it was only an inch above, honestly. And I guess for Persian women, I am quite tall. I mean, I'm 5'7", which is not
you know, typically that tall, but over there the women are typically shorter, so I thought, maybe did I stand out more? I don't know, but that was really, really scary.
So they can legitimately fine you,
yeah,
for having a tunic which is above the knee.
Yeah, the rules there are very serious. Although I have to say that was back in 2011, but I have to say at the moment women are typically showing their political positions with the way in which they wear their headscarves. So if it's looser, it's now popular for you to have your hair down and bring it all forward, and that shows that you're quite liberalist. Whereas those who wear kind of the chador, which is, you know, you hide all of the hair and you cover typically the whole body, it's not like a veil where you only have the eyes showing. It's just like this huge black cloak that shows that you're more kind of in line with the theocratic government.
That's so interesting.
Yeah, it's great though. For me, it really shows like an improvement from kind of previous, you know, Iran back when, you know, the revolution first occurred. I mean, I wasn't alive during then, but obviously going there quite frequently, I have seen myself a change with the fashion. It's not just fashion, it's a statement. Like, this is what I believe in, and I want for the government to improve and change. So I think that's great.
Donny has another story about being a woman in Iran. This isn't her story though, it's her sister's story. Her mum and her sister went to Iran last year in March, but Donny had to stay in England because she was studying for exams.
They actually went to a small village where we have like a small villa, so even further north from Tehran, which I think is called Shomal, which is literally a translation of north, I think that's what it means.
At some point in the trip, her mother and sister went to a bazaar. I asked Donny to describe what a bazaar was like.
Oh, it's wonderful. So you walk down and literally all the different kind of stands are separated by typically kind of... I think it's like... I remember it all being kind of stone walls, kind of cobbled. And on them they put like really beautiful maybe carpets or sort of like big scarves. And then you'd have one stand that sell kind of dry fruits and kind of freshly roasted nuts. Another would be maybe hair bands and sort of general accessories. One would be toys. It's really beautiful. There's just so much stuff there. Despite the kind of government there and those sort of difficulties that we face, I think it's actually a very beautiful country, rich in history and actually quite modern. People don't think that you know, it's beautiful. I really love it there.
I'd like to just pause there to apologise for my intermittent coughing throughout those clips. I was getting over a coffee coldy type thing when we recorded this and I literally couldn't help myself. So sorry about that. Anyway, Donny's mum and sister were in the bazaar and there's a fruit seller.
She was kind of peering at this guy because he was selling fruits, but in quite a funny way, because it was this kind of short little stubby guy, as my mother described, and he was going in Farsi, Persian, but I'll translate again. He was going, oranges, melons, come and get your pomegranates, this kind of thing. And my sister was looking at this guy like, what is he doing? And when she kind of gives people the look, it's very kind of like the evil stare. She doesn't mean to do it, it just happened. And the thing is, in Iran, if you give a guy kind of a dirty look, that means you're interested in them, so you're playing hard to get. Whereas over here, if you go to a club and a guy approaches you and you're like, you know, you give them that look, it's kind of like, okay, I'll back away.
The fruit seller sees Donny's sister giving him this look and he cries out,
Mashallah! Like, which is basically, oh my gosh, look at this girl. And it's like, would you like a melon? Would you like an orange? And then my sister's like, run. Apparently she hid behind my mom, like terrified of this guy. And she didn't know what to do. But that was really funny.
It's so interesting that, like, the dirty look, as you put it, like, it's so, yeah, so different.
For them, it's kind of a look of, like, is it sultriness? Kind of like being sexy almost.
Smouldering.
Yeah, smouldering, exactly.
Donny has literally endless stories about Iran, endless experiences. How does it feel when you first go back over there after being in England for a time?
That's a very good question, actually, because often, now this is something my parents always say, they often feel like they're the outsiders because I remember my mother and I were just watching, and it was the 30th anniversary of the Iranian Revolution, and we were watching loads of documentaries on the television. And I said to my parents, do you feel like you belong in Iran? Do you think that you identify as an Iranian, you know, regardless of, you know, where you are from, you know, physically, like where you were born and stuff? And my parents say, you know what, we don't feel like we are, that Iran is our home, nor Britain, because they moved when they were very young, but because they've been here for so long, their thoughts are now have been kind of shaped and molded and more become more westernized, and they're very liberal, my parents, which I'm very grateful for. So for me, I kind of, for a while, I sort of felt lost, because despite being born in Britain, I didn't feel like I fit in completely with others, because I'm not I'm British, but I'm not English. So for that, for a while, did sort of, it was a huge ordeal for me, because to me it matters how you kind of identify yourself. I'm not huge on labels, but I do like to have a sense of belonging. I'm not sure why. I think it's just for general security. So I think when I'm over there, going back to the question, I do feel, over time, I do feel more comfortable being there, but at the same time, my mentality is kind of a barrier, because the way I think is much different from, you know, my family there. So there's certain mannerisms I hold that they're not quite sure, like, why do I do this? Oh, it's because she's British, it's fine. But it's something I just have to get used to, I suppose. I was having this talk with my dad, because I was actually really struggling with this kind of identity thing. And he said, if you look at it this way, you have been brought up with both Eastern and Western tradition, which are kind of polar opposite. And he said, think about it, you take the best of both, which makes you maybe different from others. So he said, don't see it as a flaw or kind of a fault with yourself. See it as a good thing that you've been able to see different parts of the world. You know, not many people know Iran and how the culture is like. It helped me reevaluate myself a little, because I thought to myself, actually, my dad's right. My dad is right. Gender division is a huge thing, and they've tried to, I remember, like, for example, if you want to take the bus, it's all the women at the back of the bus and all the men at the front, but that doesn't really work anymore, especially with our underground. We have an underground system as well, but now it doesn't really matter as much, because, you know, when you have the rush, you know, after, you know, work is finished and stuff, you can't control that really, can you? So that hasn't really been working anymore. But
what's their reasoning for it, do you know?
Basically to avoid sexual corruption and adultery and all that lot, and to follow the practice of Islam. I think that's literally the reasoning behind it. But I think actually Iran has helped me a lot with the way I think and my liberalism, because of the oppression many face. Education is a huge power, it's particularly for women in Iran. They're always encouraged by family members, you know, do well. They push them really hard, and they're very motivated, I've noticed. Some of my kind of distant family, when I, you know, you have the odd family gathering, they're always like, oh yes, I'm really studying hard, I want to become a chemical engineer, I want to do, you know, go into these sort of more STEM subjects. They're encouraged to kind of really push for these high positions. So for example, if you want to be, even if you want to be a judge in Iran as a woman, it's really hard because of your gender. So for them, for me, it's really I'm inspired when I go to Iran. I think to myself, you know those days you go into uni or college and you're complaining or you're feeling, I just try and think back to when I met my distant, I think she was my like third, I don't know what she was, just like distant cousin, and seeing that kind of like hunger in her eyes, like she wanted this. I thought to myself, you know, I have this opportunity of education in England. We have, you know, one of the best education systems in the world. I need to be more grateful for this. So for me, it was kind of like a boost, you know, an eye-opener. So thank you.
The 19% is created and hosted by me, Anya Lawrence. The International Women's Day mini-series has been produced with help from James Goodison and Harry Bowflower. Iona Hampson designed our logo. Special thanks to Lucy Bickley, James Perkins, Ibitasum, Ahmed, and all of our contributors throughout the series. You can find us on Twitter at The19% and find our Facebook page at facebook.com/19%. Next time on The 19%.
I actually got the news the 23rd of December and I cried the whole day. Oh, and I thought that's the best Christmas present I could ever dream of.